Hello and welcome to the round table with me, Sunny Martin, and welcome once again to this weekend edition. Today we are going to be looking at the outcome of the just concluded third edition of Juba Economic Forum. And during that 3 days economic forum here in Juba, the government of Central Equatoria State directed all the 6 counties in Central Equatoria State to allocate 20 square kilometers of land each for agricultural use in a move aimed at boosting food security across the country. This directive was also announced during this concluded third edition of the Juba Economic Forum that was held at the Central Bank here in Juba. One of the key issues raised during the forum was the country's unfavorable land policy, which continues to hamper the growth of the agricultural sector. So, what concrete steps were taken during this year's third edition of the Juba Economic Forum to overcome these challenges and strengthen food security and production across the country? These are some of the issues we are going to be discussing in the next 2 hours with my panelists here, and our lines will be open to you later on, where you can call on 091206-7879 or 091206-7929, or you can also call us on 091206-8101. Do send us your comment and questions to our SMS number 091-2177-141, or you can visit our Facebook page and drop your questions there, as some of you have been doing already, and I will be reading some of them later on here in the course of our discussion. I am joined here in the studio by Arneo Balasio Peter, who is the Director General for National Project at the National Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security. Good morning, and you are most welcome to the Roundtable program.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, Sunny Martin, and good morning, Miraya. Listeners, I'm actually privileged to be here today.
Yeah, most welcome. And we are expecting also Honorable Port Majak Daljang, who is the Minister for Agriculture, Forestry and Environment in Lakes State. He just informed us that he's on his way coming. And also we are expecting Jimmy Pitia, who is the Secretary of Juba Economic Forum. They should be joining us shortly. As we continue with our program, let's begin with you, the director. First of all, you were in the forum, the 3 days forum, and you also made some presentation. Can you give us an overview of how the entire process of this third edition of the Juba Economic Forum went?
Yeah, thank you once again. The forum really met the objectives. It was very well, and it was well organized. And most of the presentations were at the point and actually were so informative. And I think many of those who did not attend the first and the second edition benefited well from the third edition. The forum was really well organized. I thank the organizers and the way information was actually flowing. It was so properly smooth, and many people benefited from it, and most of the presentations were targeting the economic aspect of the country, and basically the most addressed was the agricultural sector. Mm-hmm. Many topics about agriculture were discussed, the fishery aspect, the livestock, and many others, policies about agriculture in the country. But the most complex and complicated issue was issue related to land. Land aspect for agriculture was actually one of the policies, and is actually one of the policies in the country which is complex, and it complicates a number of issues related to agricultural sector.
How?
Land is divided into a number of plans. There is government land, there is private land, and there is community land. And this one, in some cases, it was not, it is not properly explained. But in the forum, many presenters said there was a problem of getting land for agriculture. But basically, if you use the wrong way to acquire land for agriculture, you will not get it. But if you start by addressing the government of the state, we start by addressing or requesting land from the state, and then the state will send you to the county, mm-hmm. and the county will send you to the communities. But if you are doing it at county level or at state level without consulting the communities, that's why you will get a lot of problems, and the community will refuse because they are not consulted.
So how was it, was there any redress to these challenges of land policies in the country?
To address this issue, of course, the government has to review the laws, Land Act, mm-hmm. and see that, in fact, before going to get land, you have to also involve the community from the onset.
How does it affect the agricultural production in this country?
It affects greatly. It affects agricultural production because mm-hmm. once you go to the communities and the communities refuse to give you this land, which was already planned, and you already have your plans to do agriculture in that area, and the community refuses to give it, then of course definitely you lose the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what else were discussed before we hear? We know some of the recommendations or resolution. What more? I understand there was one of the complex issue about the bush chain clearance, right?
Yeah. I really thank that uncle who presented. The presentation was good, but unfortunately, no enough time was given to discuss this topic. Mm. And I was one of the people who asked a question about the percentage of plants or trees that are spared, and how many trees per square area do you leave? Because it is really very dangerous to clear all the bush and leaving nothing for the environment. So I asked that question, and I was informed that there is no need to discuss this issue. But the issue is, for us in the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security, let me put this one clearly in Arabic so that the layman there can understand, because scientifically if I explain, nobody will, many people will not understand it. بالنسبة لنا في وزارة الزراعة نحن لما استندف المساحة بتاعك للزراعة انت دايما هتلقى طبعا عندنا في بالذات في ولاية الاستوائية الوسطى وغرب الاستوائية البلد المناطق ده يعني موبوغة باشجار كتيرة.
Okay.
So انت ما ممكن تقوم بchain clearance and then تندف اي حاجة في قدام بتاعك. Our people actually are resilient because they use most of these wild fruits.
Okay.
يعني انت حسا في شغل بتاعك بتاع نظافة انت ما ممكن تكتا نب شجر نبك ما ممكن تكتا شجر لولو ما ممكن تكتا شجر لالوب ما ممكن تكتا أشجار المفيدة للكوميونيتيز. And also you have to spare some trees because clearing all the trees in the area is actually unfriendly environmentally unfriendly. عشان كده نحن في وزارة الزراعة بنقول انت لما تكتا شجر واحد تزرع خمسة. Cut one and plant five.
Mm-hmm.
And that was why I asked the presenter, how many trees do you spare per square meters? And what type of trees do you leave? Because our people depend on this wild fruit strategically, and that's why they develop the resilience.
Okay.
And these are some of the coping mechanisms that they have due to these wild fruits.
All right. So were there some specific issues that were addressed that can actually help boost food production in this country during the 3 days forum?
A lot of issues.
Apart from the land issue?
Apart from the land issue, a lot were discussed, specifically on the issues of seed, quality seeds, provision to the of farmers. And a number of issues were discussed about support to our smallholder farmers. And basically, agricultural production is dependent on the smallholder farmers. We cannot talk of large-scale farmer while we don't develop our small-scale farmers. So many issues related to provision of tools, provision of quality seeds, provision of fertilizers if needs be, and support. And one of the most issues that was actually very critical in the, I think every presenter presented issues related to insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
So without proper security in the country, we cannot actually boost our agriculture because many things are at stake. The other thing that was also discussed were actually infrastructure. Agricultural infrastructure is not properly developed in the country. For example, we don't have roads, and many people talk that they have produce for the last season, but they cannot transport this food to markets.
Even to the nearest
state. Even to the nearest. So one of this one is infrastructure. And many people talked about the fact that why are we relying on rain-fed agriculture? So they suggested the way to go for irrigation. Mm-hmm. So without proper infrastructure for irrigation, I don't think we can go for irrigation because irrigation needs a lot of investment. And basically, this investment should be provided by the public sector. That's the government.
Mm-hmm.
We don't expect any donor or any development partner to come and put in place our infrastructure for irrigation.
All right.
So this is really the work of the government, and the government has to be serious about it to put some special funds for development of infrastructure for agriculture.
Okay, and I know you are not one of the organizers, but you might have got the resolution or recommendation. Are they called a recommendation or resolution?
They are called recommendations.
Okay, so what are some of these recommendations?
But some of these recommendations are really related to what I've spoken about.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have challenges,
land.
If you have challenges, you need to talk about recommendations related to the challenges. So one of them is the issue of land policy. One of them was the issue of research not being properly developed in the country, because without research, you cannot actually develop technologies for your agriculture. And many more were discussed. Very many recommendations were put
which
forward.
Which one strikes you most out of these recommendations? I understand there are over 30 or 40.
There are very many, but the issue of infrastructure, insecurity, these are most. And development of new technologies for agriculture.
And has you are the official from the National Ministry of Agriculture, the Director General for National Projects. Are there some current projects the ministry is embarking on in terms of agriculture in the country?
Very many. The Ministry of Agriculture has a lot of short-term, medium-term, and long-term projects. But unfortunately, they're underfunded.
Mm-hmm.
The ministry is not getting enough fund from the government, and we know the problem why the government is not supporting agriculture, because we have a lot of shortages. Our oil export has been actually at stake for quite a long time, and that the government is having a large area. Which priority is it? Security is a priority, and all many things. But the projects that we have, for example, the short-term projects is like developing the production of cereals and quality seeds. This is one of the short-term projects that the Minister of Agriculture is putting forward. We need to have a really good source of quality seeds, because quality seed is the basic, is the foundation for production and productivity. So if you start with a very poor seed, then you end having no produce. This is one. The government or the Minister of Agriculture is proposing to the government to revitalize the previous national projects like Anzara Agro Complex, like Melut Sugar Factory, Mangala Sugar Factory, Upper Talanga Tea Project, Iwatoka Coffee and Tea Project. So these are some of the projects that the ministry is actually putting forward for for the government to support them, and this actually will support
And this short term or this is a long term?
Some of them are long term. I said one of the shortest. So long term is this production of grains.
Where is it taking place? In all the 10 states?
It's all over the country.
Has it started already?
No, because of
why?
As I stated.
Money?
No money. No funds have been located. But all these projects are costed.
Okay.
They have their value, and unfortunately, they are not funded.
Okay. Now, what happened to your allocated budget in the 2024-2025 budget, national budget?
The allocation this year, I think, is good, but the issue is the liquidity. The allocation, I think the government this time made it well for the Minister of Agriculture. The budget has been raised, and if something is released out of it, I think the Minister of Agriculture will be able to do something on the agriculture.
We are almost coming to the end of the 2024-2025 budget, because this is May now, or I guess we are left with only a month and plus. Yeah. So you have not got anything from your allocated budget?
We have not got anything, but we are told to wait, and we are now
waiting.
How
is it affecting your work? Because these national projects you have outlined, they need money, they need human resources, people need to go to the site, and some of them have been redundant for quite a very long time. So how does that affect your plans?
It is affecting badly, and we in the ministry, we have that idea of actually revitalizing these projects, but unfortunately, as I said earlier, it is under these projects are underfunded.
Yeah,
but some of these national projects are partially working, about three of them.
Which one?
Have a We Rise scheme. It's now working, being funded by the World Bank, and it's being implemented by
UNFAO.
FAO. And then we have Jebel Ladu. It's one also of the sorghum projects for the country, and it is partially working. It's actually being run by one of the companies. It's actually being operated by a private sector. And that's why it's partially working. You said it's partially because the government has given nothing there, but it is the private sector running that project, and is one of the properly set project. It is basically working on rain-fed agriculture and irrigated agriculture. We have set about six center pivot irrigation systems, and these are nowhere in the country. And this is for the first time that this kind of technology has been installed in Jebel Ladu. And then we have RENG. This is in Northern Upper Nile, and it's also partially functioning because the government has really given nothing to it this season. And we are planning to send some good seeds, because basically season starts late in Upper Nile State. It's basically starting in June, and we are hoping that before that one comes, so the government will be able to supply some fuel or seeds if budget is provided.
Okay. Now, some of these many recommendations that were agreed upon during the 3 days third edition of the Juba Economic Forum, I understand that some of them will be implemented by different government institutions. What are the mechanisms put in place to ensure that they are fully implemented?
Sani Martin, we have proper plans on the shelves, but the issue is when and how to get money to implement those recommendations. This is the only thing that is making the government, or the, in other terms, the Minister of Agriculture, cannot do it, because it's not given funds. But once provided, I think all these recommendations are very good. Yeah, all these recommendations are very good, and they are actually recommendations to help the country to go forward as far as agricultural sector is concerned.
And do you believe that this country can produce enough food to feed the entire population, and even have enough surplus that can be exported abroad? And yes. What will it take?
The answer is yes. If we change the current trend.
Which is?
The current trend, which I mean, is to forget about our petroleum, forget about our oil, and let's switch to agriculture production. Or we fuel our agriculture by using the proceeds coming from the oil.
Mm-hmm.
This is what can actually give us a headway, and I understand, and I'm sure the country can produce more because of its current potentials that are
so
available.
What can be the game changer here?
The game changer is the political will. The political will. If the government prioritizes, or if politicians prioritize, I'm really not telling them that they are not doing their best, but political will is very important. The government should put agriculture as the priority.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the game changer.
And now the question is, we understand there has been a lot of stories circulating on social media, confirmed also by Redi Miraya, that the economic cluster had a meeting last month and agreed that they approved over 60 billion SSP, and there was also a plan of having the first ever National Agricultural Forum here in Juba. They also asked all the 10 states plus the three administrative areas to allocate land, over 250 acres of land in each of these various states plus the three administrative areas. Has the Director General in the National Ministry of Health for National Projects, are you aware about this?
Surely, I'm quite much aware, because any area that is opened by the government outside Juba, that one is called National Projects.
Yeah.
Anything that is under the Ministry of Agriculture is called National Projects, and these are all these schemes that are going to be open are going to be under my directorate.
Okay. Before we know when and where and how and the issue of money, first of all, if this project, the one I've just mentioned, if they are really implemented, what changes will it have on the issue of people depending on handouts all the time? Because majority of the people of this country, I hear from UN OCHA and other UN agencies, they have written a report that at least over 70% of this population of South Sudan are food insecure.
It will help a lot, Sunny Martin, because if we really depend on the locally produced food. Now, let's give just an example.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most secure food states in the country is Western Equatorial State. Western Equatorial produces most of its food, and it is not food insecure.
Mm-hmm.
The only state in the country that is properly food secure
is Western Equatorial.
Western Equatorial, yeah. Now, if we put that, all the states are doing the same. So what would be the problem? All the states will be food secure. And we will never actually depend on handouts from UNA or something of that kind. So let's actually push that all the states should produce.
And why are other states not producing?
There are very many factors. Still, this issue of insecurity, Sunny Martin, is repeated in agriculture. It's hindering agriculture very badly. And then the issue also cattle raiders, cattle coming into agricultural land, and also very many factors are hindering production in some of the states. And the other issue also is climate change.
Mm-hmm.
You remember I said we basically depend on rain-fed agriculture. So climate change is also one of the factors, floods affecting farmers, and drought also affecting farmers.
Okay.
Let me continue with talking about the agricultural conference. This is in place. It has been actually agreed by economical cluster that this agricultural conference should take place. And the issue of the money that you said, when our minister was received, the new minister, when he was received, Honorable
Hussein Abdelbaghi,
he came with a plan of 100 days that he wants to execute. And he directed all the ministry, director generals, to come with plans. These plans were made and actually presented to him, and he shared this one with the vice president for economic cluster. And that is the money that you are talking about, the 62 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been agreed that this money should be released.
So
this,
it is an initiative by the ministry.
It is an initiative by the minister, because he said he wants to have 100 days to achieve,
mm-hmm.
and which the directors in the ministry did, and it became his plan,
mm-hmm.
which he presented to the presidency.
Okay.
And the economical cluster.
So where are we with this plan now?
The plan is in place, And it is yet to wait for this money to be approved. But the plan is ready, and we are ready to execute it.
So this over 60 billion SSP approved, and you said the minister came with an ambitious plan of 100 days.
Yeah.
So what are some of these plans to be used, or which you need this money for? What are some
for
of the
example,
plans?
For example, let me talk about my directorate, the Directorate of National Projects. In my directorate, I actually requested provision of fuel to all the states and the three administrative areas. Fuel is specifically for agricultural production.
Of what quantity?
It's about 2,000 liters.
Per each state?
No, all.
All.
Yeah, we'll be providing that because we have calculated how much each state will need. And
so how much will each state need?
Sorry?
What is the percentage to be given to each state?
Depending on the activities that state has.
Mm-hmm.
Some states have a lot of activities and some states do not have. And the three administrative areas also are part of this quantity. So we have a formula on how to distribute this.
Mm-hmm.
The second item in the request is provision of good quality seeds to smallholder farmers. The third one is provision of lubricants for a wheat rice scheme and rank scheme and many others, because we really feel like if you use a tractor without provision of spare parts, without provision of lubricants, without provision of fuel, that one doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
So in the plan is these are some of the quick urgent issues that we
within
want to
address 100 days
within these 100 days.
Yeah,
and it started in say April, May, June,
mm-hmm.
within these 3 months.
But the minister has been in the office for over 3 months now.
Yeah,
because since February,
it is not his problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course, as I said, this thing has already been forwarded up, and mm-hmm. it is us to wait from them to say yes, your money is released. Start, but the minister is quite serious about his 100 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about the agricultural forum? Is it under your ministry or vice president?
Yeah, it is organized. And it is under our ministry, mm-hmm. but with support from the vice president for economic cluster. And even the organizers of the economic forum are going to be part of the organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So when are we expecting that? Any plan or any date so
it
far?
It was supposed to be, as I read in one of the letters, it was supposed to be tomorrow,
18th.
The 18th of May. But of course, up to now, still preparations are on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe another date will be set.
What do you want to achieve through this forum? Because so many forums have just taken place in the country, but we don't see any effect. People come to Juba,
enjoy
the meal, exchange contacts, and have fun, go back.
Yeah.
Nothing happens.
Well, that's correct. But organizing such conferences for agriculture, because it's going to bring people from many countries,
mm-hmm.
and through bringing many people, we are going to get extra expertise, provision, or actually presentation of different agricultural technologies. And this is how we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if we have new technologies, although we are not having research, but we see some technologies that can be adopted for the country, this is what such conferences can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly bringing investors in the area of agricultural sector.
Yeah.
So once foreign investors come inside, they will see the potential of the country by also being presented by different institutions. They will understand what is in the country.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what is the role of development partners like the Food and Agriculture Organization in supporting agriculture in this country? Because I understand they also distribute seeds to farmers across the country.
They are supportive. They support the agricultural sector. They provide seeds, like FAO, for instance, provides these hand tools like the Toria and mm-hmm. other small hand tools. And one good thing with these partners, they have the funds that can make them go anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
But the government cannot do most of these things. But for these developing partners, they go to the states, and implement some of the things that are actually relevant in the agricultural sector.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there was a very nice plan that was supported by JICA. It was called the Comprehensive Agricultural Master Plan, the CAM. And it was even passed by the parliament, and we don't know what happened. If you read some of, I read the some of the articles in that document, they were very nice if implemented, but we don't know what happened to that master plan.
That document, the master plan is existing. I was part of the formulation. Mm-hmm. I was leading the crop subsector. I was the team leader for crop sector. And I was also part of the formulation of Irrigation Development Master Plan. We call them, these are twin documents, mm-hmm. which are actually relevant in agriculture. And we call them our Bible, our mm-hmm. references, where if the, you need anything about the country, you go and open one of those books.
Mm-hmm.
Those plans are there. Particularly the CAM, which is the Comprehensive Agriculture Master Plan, is having about 110 projects. Among the 110 projects, one of them is capacity development. Of course, if you don't capacitate your people, they will not be able to achieve. So JICA has picked the issue of capacity development, and it started in some of the states. People were capacitated, and it is now ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now it is left to the government to pick some of the projects and implement them. But the document is in place, and this is one of the most important documents.
Why is it very difficult for the government to implement some of these projects?
This is a question sometimes it should be asked somewhere else, because I am a technocrat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But from your own knowledge as a technocrat,
you are
the brain behind everything.
The
policymakers will come back to you. What can we do?
I said before, Sani Martin, we need to prioritize agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not the Minister of Agriculture to put it in place. But we do develop policies for the ministry, and we advise the government that agriculture is key, mm-hmm. because of 1, 2, 3. Now it is up to the policymakers to put agriculture as number one. And these things, most of them, it's not happening because it's not being fueled, it's not being funded. The CADAP actually request all governments in the continent to provide at least 10% of its budget for agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, our government has never done that. Probably it did once, and it was only 2%. And 2% is very small for agriculture to be boosted all over the country. And this actually 2%, if it is continuous in every season, then I think it could help a little bit. But it is not there. So that is some of the issues that is actually hindering agriculture sector in the country.
All right. And the challenge most farmers are facing in this country, and you will agree with me, is lack of support financially. They don't have access to these loans. Even if they are loans, their conditions are not favorable. What is being done to support these cooperative, organized farmers, individual farmers who have the capacity and have the land, but they don't have access to money?
This issue of funding, you know, when we're still in Sudan, we have the Agricultural Bank of Sudan.
But now we have also
but
here
now
in Juba.
We have Agricultural Bank of
in
South
Juba
Sudan.
In Juba Town.
We have Agricultural Bank of South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is also a problem of funding the bank itself. Because once the bank is not properly funded, it cannot reach the farmers. And the Agricultural Bank of South Sudan is an intermediate institution between the Minister of Agriculture and the smallholder farmers. Once it has money, and then it is requested by the Minister of Agriculture to support farmers. But this thing is not there because of the linkage and the support to Agricultural Bank of South Sudan. So the government is actually at least not able to help, although it's willing to do that.
Now, what about the issue of the inputs you talked about, We understand recently there were over 100 tractors that were brought, and some farmers are also saying that they're not being supported with tractors. Some of them would like to buy, but they don't have access to those. So tell us more about this mechanized farming. Does the government have a plan for mechanized farming in this country? Most of the... What you said, that Western Equatoria is the only state producing enough food. Most of them are doing subsistence farming.
That is it. That's the point. We really don't need tractors to produce. Subsistence farming means you produce a little bit, but when these farmers are given support, they can send something to the markets. Sonny Martin, if I tell you that we have over 2,000 tractors in the country, you will not believe. We have them.
Where are they located?
They are somewhere, which I cannot tell. I don't know, but they are there. A farmer with a land of 2 acres doesn't need to have a tractor. You should not own. You just hire a tractor, and then you will produce by increasing acreage and using some of the improved technologies, using good agricultural practices. So we have a number of tractors in the country, but the whereabout is not even known by the Minister of Agriculture. I remember...
Not very strange?
It is very strange because this is our...
Who imported or who purchased them?
The first 1,000 tractors were actually purchased by the Minister of Defense in support of the policies and in support of the request by the President. And the second one actually purchased by a certain private sector, but also the money comes from the Minister of Finance.
Mm-hmm.
So all this, it means all these are the tractors of the government.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the way they are used, I don't talk about really the real distribution, but they go somewhere and we don't see them.
Have we seen any impact made by this availability of the 2,000 tractors across the country in terms of food production?
No. We have not seen it, but this is something that will be, I think, should have a day to discuss about the 1,000 tractors and the current tractors.
So if these 2,000 tractors were made into a proper use, where will South Sudan be today in terms of...
South Sudan should have been exporting now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me talk about the 1,000 tractors.
Yeah.
And let me put it clearly so that everybody understands.
I was there during the day the president was launching in Belfarm.
Yeah, I was also there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was in charge of the distribution plan.
Yeah.
And I was actually administered or supervised by my Honorable Deputy Minister.
But if you say you are in charge of the distribution plan, why don't you know where they are?
Let me tell you the story of the distribution. Those were 1,000 tractors. And in our distribution plan, we are requested to give the army 200 tractors, which we gave.
And even the university, I was told.
Let me just come slowly.
Yeah.
We gave the army 200 tractors. And if you go to the military now, you will not see one tractor.
Mm.
We gave the public universities tractors. That's Upper Nile University, Bahr Ghazal, Juba University, and John Gering Memorial College, we gave them. And the University of Juba was privileged to have more tractors than the other universities.
Mm-hmm.
We gave the police tractors. We gave the prison and many others. And we gave individuals due to the fact that they were requested to be given. Now, the remaining tractors in the Ministry of Agriculture, we had a plan. And this plan was actually developed by the ministry such that tractors are given to the states. And we developed something called rural agromechanical centers.
Mm-hmm.
These rural agromechanical
centers... In all the 10 states
and the 3 administrative areas.
Yeah.
Now, Sonny Martin, that time we were 32 states when the tractors were distributed.
Yeah.
We were 32 states. Initially, when we drew the plan, we were still 10 states. And in the 10 states, the ministry planned to give 60 tractors to each state. You see? 60 tractors to each state, and then each state is to plan the rural agromechanical centers, including the 3 administrative areas.
Mm-hmm.
But then we went to the 32 states. When we were 32 states, that was the actual date that the tractors were distributed. So now, some states were divided into 3. So out of 60, then we gave each state 20 tractors. As an example, when you talk of Central Equatoria State, or let's talk about Northern Barghazali State, where our rice scheme is.
Yeah.
The defunct state was divided into three states, so we gave each state 20 tractors. This makes 60 tractors. We gave our rice scheme 16 tractors. This makes 76 tractors in Northern Barghazali.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if you go there, you will not get one tractor. And most of the states. The only state which was actually underprovided was Eastern Equatoria, because it was only divided into three states. That's Kapoita, so Namornyong and Torit. They got 40 tractors.
40?
40 tractors. But other states which have the national projects, Central Equatoria State also got 76 tractors.
Like Northern Barghazali?
Like Northern Barghazali, because of the Jebel Adudu rescue.
Yes.
Upper Nile got also more than this, because we gave a rank scheme more than 16 tractors, plus the 60 tractors of the state makes more than that. So all these states have tractors. But the Minister of Agriculture doesn't know where they are.
So was there no committee to follow up after they were handed over to these states?
Well, there was a committee, and of course the distribution plan was to call each state to come and take its mm-hmm. tractors. And we handed all the tractors to them, expecting, of course, proper usage of the tractors, and that we are going to follow for the development of the rural agromechanical centers.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it.
Now, the issue right now is that the country is not food secure. Many people are depending on handouts from UN agencies, and the ministry is planning to have this first ever national agricultural forum here in Juba. What do you want to achieve at the end of the day with this forum as a ministry and as a government? And will it change anything? Will there be any impact?
Yeah, once the recommendations are actually implemented, it will change.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we go and sit there as intellectuals, as technocrats, we actually get information from several directions. And as I said initially, we gain from people coming from outside. We gain from their good practices. We gain from a number of things that they bring here. We gain from foreign investors through putting in their money. If they are convinced to put them the money, then of course we can change.
Mm-hmm.
We can change. We expect change through the recommendations that are drawn from the conference.
Now, let me take you a little bit back to the issue of land. Central Equatoria State, during this just concluded third edition of the Juba Economic Forum, proposed the allocation of 20 square kilometers of land for agriculture in Central Equatoria State. Should other states also do the same?
Yeah, the trend is to develop such area in all the states and the three administrative area. All the other states should also follow suit.
Mm-hmm. And how will the government support farmers in utilizing this land?
Well, the government is supposed to do what is known as public-private partnership. Because if we leave everything to the government is having a lot of things to do to provide services to the civilians. But once we involve actively the private sector, I think most of the things can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now the question, apart, we have already explained about the issue of money or finance, having access to finance. What are some of the major challenges farmers are currently facing in expanding agricultural production, especially those in the Payams, Bomas, counties, coming to the state headquarters?
I can just say, first of all, some counties or some states needs a proper land clearing policy Because in central, in eastern, in western Equatoria, if you want to expand, you need to clear bush.
Yeah.
Uprooting these trees is a problem. So that's why when you go to western Equatoria, farmers have land but very small.
Yeah.
Because of land clearance.
What do they need? They need huge machines to uproot the...
Some of this one, because the big trees need bulldozers, for example. You cannot just using axe to eradicate this.
Some of them I've seen, they do this local way of setting fire around this.
This is also one way, but this one takes how many years to eradicate the roots and all this. So this is one thing. The other thing, also the technology they are using in plowing land. They don't have tractors, as we said. They are using hand hoes. And you can imagine a person using a hoe, how much land he can cultivate per day or per year. These are also some of the limiting factors. There are a number of them. And sometimes we have our own traditions that say if you cultivate large area, people will eye on you and all these kind of things.
Yeah.
These are traditionally believed in some of the states. And then sometimes they don't have enough seeds. They keep their own seeds for the previous season, probably due to some issues.
They are locally
produced, and they keep them for some reason, and probably if hunger comes, and they can use that one, and the seeds that are left is very small for expanding the land. So these are some of the factors. And the other factor also, they will think, if I produce, where will I put it? No market access. So they will actually limit themselves to very small production. And many others. There are a lot of factors.
One of the biggest concern in the country right now is the youth. The population of this country is made out of young people, and some of them are unemployed. We also have these fresh graduates from the university who specialize in agriculture and all this, and they are not being made use of. Just in this recent forum that concluded in Juba, was there any discussion on how to involve this youth in production? In agricultural production?
Yeah, there were a lot of discussion on youth and women, how to engage them. And there were plans. I think all the presenters presented windows of opportunities for youth and women. But also, again, things cannot be done if they are not fast. You cannot employ somebody whom you will not be able to pay monthly. So that was it. But what is important is supposed to make the youth productive. They should be self-employed. They produce their own food. They go for farming. They go into... And these boys who are just redundant, moving in the streets, could just be taken to the schemes and made them productive. But now we are not making use of them. They are causing a lot of problems in towns. And they are not being made useful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. If you have just joined us right now, you're listening to the Roundtable. It's just very unfortunate that some of our invited guests have not turned up for our discussion. We hope they should be coming. We have in the studio here Arneo Balasio Peter, who is the Director General for National Projects at the National Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security. We are discussing how the government plans to boost food security in this country, given the fact that over 70% of this population are food insecure and depend mostly on handouts from the UN agencies. If you have got any questions, our lines will be open to you later on, where you can call on 091206-7929 or 091206-7879. Do send us your comment or question to our SMS number 091-2177-141. Those are all our lines. You can get in touch or visit our Facebook page. Drop your question there. I will be reading some of them as they come in right here. My name is Sunny Martin, and you are listening to The Roundtable that comes to you every Saturday and repeated on a Sunday.
the Round Table.
Hello and welcome to the second hour of the Round Table with me, Sunny Martin. And today we are discussing efforts by the government and the partners to boost food security through funding and supporting agriculture in South Sudan. As a result of the 3 days third edition of the Juba Economic Forum that concluded here 2 days ago, Central Equatorial State said that they are directing all the 6 counties in the state to allocate 20 square kilometers of land each for agricultural use in a move aimed at boosting food security across South Sudan. Now, in the studio here, I have the Director General for National Projects at the National Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security, Arneo Balasso Peter. And we also had invited Lakes State Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Environment, Honorable Port Majak Daljang. And also we had invited Jimmy Pitia, who is the Secretary for Juba Economic Forum. Up now, did not turn up. Our lines will be open shortly where you can call us and ask your questions to the director who is with me here, the DG who is with me here in the studio. And our lines, like I said, are open 091206-7879 or 091206-7929, 091206-8101. Do send us your comment to our SMS number 091-2177-141 or visit our page, Facebook page, and drop your comment there. Let me begin today by reading a couple of questions and comments that has just come in through our Facebook page. This one here is coming from John Paul Biel, and he's writing from Mangatin here in Juba. And John Paul Biel is asking that, Director General, the question is, we have insecurity all over the country. We have these schemes going on between the SSPDF and SPLA-IO, which is affecting farmers to embark on agriculture. How does this affect your plan as a ministry to embark on agriculture in the country? Insecurity, you had talked about it earlier. That's coming from John Paul Biel. James Roy Majok is from Mayom County, Unity State, and he's asking, his question is going to the National Minister of Agriculture together with their partners like UNFAO and the State Ministers of Agriculture. Let them not prioritize agriculture without supporting communities with the tools for them to cultivate their farm across the country. If you don't support farmers with the agricultural tools and seeds, how do you expect the country to be food secure? That's from James Roy Majok in Mayom County. And Dut is writing from Eden here in Juba. He says, one, he's suggesting police alignment. And then how he also want to find out what are some of the specifics reforms that have been prioritized to support agricultural initiative across the country. The issue of land dispute and community engagement is another one. And land disputes are common in South Sudan. How will the government mediate conflict over the allocation of this land? You have suggested that each state should provide. And what will be the role of traditional leaders in ensuring that community buy in your idea of allocating land to agricultural production across the country? Yes, I think let's begin with these few ones. Yes, Arneo.
Number one is issue of insecurity all over the country.
Yes, from John.
This is from Mr. John.
Yes.
Mr. John, thank you for your question. And I think the issue of security is not the first thing that the ministry is doing. It is not actually its responsibility. Issue of insecurity is for all of us. We can create our own security if we really want to have peace. So the Ministry of Agriculture is urging everybody in South Sudan to embrace peace so that we can produce. But the Ministry of Agriculture cannot disarm the armed people. Mm-hmm. The Minister of Agriculture cannot prevent the cattle raiders to to invade farmers' lands or agricultural areas. So we are here as the ministry to direct policies, to develop the regulations and all this. But we are not in charge of insecurity in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But we can participate as citizens of this country.
Okay. James Roy Majok, Mayom County, that farmers' communities are not being supported by farm inputs.
Thank you so much. Earlier I stated about the willingness of the National Minister of Agriculture to support, and it is in plan. We cannot produce if we don't have tools. So the Ministry of Agriculture is in position to support the smallholder farmers. I really emphasize normally, basically, always and every day, the support to the small-scale farmers. And that is actually the area where we can get agricultural produce. We are willing to support the smallholder farmers with these hand tools.
Okay. And then Dut is from Juba here writing and says, how do you translate the discussion on the issue of land policies into actionable steps, and what are the specific reforms that are being prioritized to support this agricultural initiative? The issue of allocation of lands in the states, and you know very well that the issue of land here in this country is very difficult.
Yes, we as ministry, we advocate, and the plan to produce in each state to allocate this land, it is actually the policy of the National Minister of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, each state is supposed to go to its communities. As I stated earlier, you cannot just go to the communities with your bulldozers and then I'm starting planning here.
Yeah.
It's not like that. The plan is to address the county's commissioners, first of all, and the county commissioners writes to the PIAM administrators, and then the PIAM addresses the community. But if you just do it...
So the question is, who will be in charge of this, for example, the 250 acres you are asking for in each state?
The state is to provide land, but the ministry, the National Minister of Agriculture is to support.
Mm-hmm.
We're sending inputs to provide, actually to produce in these areas.
Okay.
But the state is to provide land, and it's the responsibility of the National Ministry of Agriculture, because it is its initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
To produce in all the states.
Because the idea may be like, if this 250 acres is given, or even like the one proposed, the 20 square kilometers, they can turn it to be something else. It can be divided among people as residential areas. That may be the fear.
No, that's not the case. Actually, it has to be gazetted as agricultural land.
Mm-hmm.
Like now, AWIRA scheme. I know people are encroaching and people do not support.
Where?
This.
In AWIRA?
In AWIRA, people are encroaching towards the agricultural land, and even in RAM, people are encroaching. But the government has to come with clear policies. If these lands are provided, first of all, it is the responsibility of the state to safeguard. Because normally, we as national ministry, we don't produce. Production normally takes place in the states. So it's the responsibility of the states to make sure that this land is not encroached.
Okay.
These are areas for living. These are areas gazetted as agricultural lands.
Okay, and also Dut is asking, what will be the role of traditional leaders in ensuring that communities buy in the ideas of allocating land for farming in each state?
Exactly, it is their role. Because if you don't go to the community leaders or the chiefs, if you don't address them, that's what I'm saying, the state government has to send the people who are requesting land to the communities. And the communities, through their chiefs and their leaders there, to provide.
Mm-hmm.
Through their own acceptance.
All right.
Because they know which land is actually supposed to be given for agriculture.
Yeah. And the same question here is also going again to you from Dut. He's asking, without roads, irrigation, which you have talked about earlier, many farmers are struggling. Many farmers also across the country cannot transport their produce even to the nearest county. And for this, they reduce the post-harvest losses. What can be done to reduce the post-harvest losses in some of these states with these bad roads?
The issue of infrastructure is not only for the national ministry. The national ministry is responsible for development of trunk roads, but the state also has to put something on the feeder roads.
Mm-hmm.
We really all agree that we have a lot of food in the states, and it's difficult to send them to markets. Market access is a very big problem. I agree with you, but let's also all agree that we can put some things as public sector without the government coming in.
Yes, another question also again going out to you. What measures are being put in place to prevent environmental degradation such as soil erosion or deforestation in these new agricultural areas?
Some of these questions go to the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, but also as an agriculturist, we have a lot of measures to prevent issues like erosion, because erosion is one of the bad or one of the negative aspects actually deteriorating agricultural lands. So we can prevent it by a number of things, by planting trees, by planting grasses on where the erosion is taking place, or putting stones to reduce running water speed so that it doesn't take with a lot of soils.
Yes, and Duku is asking or giving some factors that is affecting agriculture in his hometown, or that is in Kejikeji County, Central Equatorial State. See, number one is insecurity, road network, the price fluctuation on local produced goods, and then lack of capital to diversify agriculture is another factor. And how is the government, both national and state, prepared to tackle the above challenges in order to achieve positive results from these directives?
Thank you, Mr. Duku. The National Minister of Agriculture is really key to address all these issues, because we cannot be sitting there as Minister of Agriculture without giving plans for boosting agricultural production. We are really keen, and we are actually looking forward to solving all these issues of farmers losing their land, farmers not having market access, farmers not being funded properly, farmers not being given inputs. We are aware of all this, but there are also some limitations as national government that are actually hindering us from implementing most of these things. But the plans are in place. Thank you for actually bringing them forward.
Okay. Oring Calvin Ottaviano is saying that what enforcement mechanisms will be put in place to ensure that counties actually comply with the issues of allocating land for agricultural production in the country?
Number one is actually reformation of our land laws. We need to review our land laws, and also we need to have regulatory frameworks on how to enforce these regulations to the people. And again, it goes to the states, because if we are asked to provide land, your policies should also safeguard the provision of land.
All right, and the same Oring has a couple of questions here. It says, how will the ministry ensure the coordination between national and the state level authorities to avoid political bottleneck that will stall agricultural projects in the state like it has happened in the past?
The Minister of Agriculture, the National Minister of Agriculture, has clear policies on how national projects are installed in the states. In the CAM document, which you talked about, the CAM document has clearly put forward the difference in management of schemes. We have national schemes, and these schemes are basically administered by the National Minister of Agriculture. We have national state schemes, and these are actually administered by both the state and the national ministry. We have state-owned projects or projects for the state that are solely addressed by the states. So there is a clear policy that makes the state not to interfere with the policies of the national projects. The national projects are basically under the National Minister of Agriculture, and the National Minister of Agriculture sends project manager to the project, and the project manager is there just to organize things with the state. We understand that the state is also part of it, but But the sole responsibility of any national ministry is the National Minister of Agriculture.
Okay.
With some relationship with the state ministry through the governor and the Minister of Agriculture in the state.
Okay. And this vital question we have had in the past, some challenges as farmers in the country, where we have worms, we have birds, we have a lot of factors that destroys our crops. As a ministry, do you have a solution available for that?
The answer is yes. We have a solution available for that. And we need also to differentiate between national pest and international pest. There are pests that, of course, we know that the states cannot control, like the birds, is what happened last season with the Quelea Quelea birds in Northern Upper Nile, that's in areas of Melut and Reng. The Minister of Agriculture was able to make some interventions, and actually a spray plane was sent directly to Reng and Melut, and it started spraying and controlling these birds.
Another question here is coming in from Jackson in Juba, and he's asking about climate change. Of recent, there are some parts of the state that have never experienced rainfall for a long time. There are some parts of the state that has also had enough rain that caused floods. Is there any advice you can give to farmers in regards to climate change in the country?
Yes, the answer is yes. I initially stated about the issue of actually implementing some of the friendly, environment-friendly practices. Now, South Sudan, or let's talk about most of the areas where there are trees, charcoal burning is impacting negatively on the reduction of the number of trees that we have, and these trees actually are the one which are responsible for rains. Now, if we make our area desert, and you know what is happening in the deserts.
Mm-hmm.
In the deserts, completely there is no rain. So if we remove our green cover, then we can see that we are impacting negatively on the climate change. Climate change is a reality, and we have to agree that we have to reduce it by actually practicing environmentally friendly practices. And it is all of us, not the National Minister of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
The National Minister of Agriculture doesn't go to the field, but it is requesting all of us to practice environmentally friendly practices.
Okay. And Deng is asking, do you have enough human resource, like the extension workers, who can go out and do the actual job as you sit in the office and do the policies?
We do have, in the National Minister of Agriculture, we have the Directorate of Agricultural Production and Extension Services. And of course, it is not normally done in the National Ministry, it is done in the states.
Mm-hmm.
We have very few extension workers that we understand cannot cover all the farmers.
Yeah,
the number is very limited, but we have some in the states.
Okay, and then this question is coming in from Malual. And Malual is asking, okay. All right, I will get the questions later on because it's actually incomplete. Our lines are now open. You can call us and ask your questions to our guest here in the studio. I have with me here the Director General in the National Ministry of Agriculture for National Projects, Erneo Palacio Peter, and we are discussing about efforts to boost food production in the country through agriculture. And you have heard from him. Our lines are now open. You can call and ask your questions. Hello, Redimire. Hello. Yes. Hello. Hello. Okay, maybe the network is not very clear. Hello?
Hello?
Sani Martin.
Yes, your name?
Yes, you are connecting with me, you are in WOW.
Okay. You are in WOW now or in Juba?
No, I'm now in WOW currently.
Okay. Go ahead, James.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. My question to the director, we have multiple challenges facing agricultural sector in the country. One of them is insecurity, not tractors that had been provided recently, but I don't know where are these going to really make cultivation, since insecurity become a rampant kind of thing that we don't know how to describe it. This is one thing. What modalities as you put forward with the government to make sure security is provided to the people that are going to really to cultivate in their farms? What kind of security do you provide to them? Second, is one of the important points that you underlined before, that the spare part of tractors that have been provided recently is a major challenge. So since you really recognize that there is challenge of a spare part of tractors that are going to be given, so what will be the way forward on this issue? Because you see tractors by then brought here in numbers and end up in the hand of individual, like governors, commissioners, and individual who are built to be powerful enough and they own as they wish. So what modalities also is provided to protect these structures in the basis of producing food rather than individual owning them for their own purposes?
Okay.
Lastly, I also want to know the strategy of the ministry itself. Do you have any budget that is really put forward to support those who have insufficient funds or support of making their palm grows? Do you have any capacity to make sure these people are supported in terms of financial kind of thing so that they really expand their farms?
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, James, from WOW. Yes,
did yeah, you? Thank you, James Dorr. I think you you put forward relevant questions. And if you are with us from the onset of this program, we actually highlighted most of the questions that you are putting forward. The issue of insecurity, I before said that this is not the responsibility of the National Minister of Agriculture. It is our own responsibility. And if you know, the government has put a number of plans to disarm the civil
population.
But most in all, it failed. Let me put it that way. All the plans that the government puts did not actually complete well, and the disarmament took several times, several places in several states. But again, you take the gun from the civil population, again they get another gun. So this is very difficult to do, and this is the responsibility of all the people in the country of South Sudan. The modality is still, I said, it is the modality and it is the government to put it in place. The issue of the spare parts, I earlier alluded to that the national ministry is having plans to provide this to the state, particularly the national projects, not to everybody. We cannot provide spare parts for everybody, but everybody has to buy spare parts for himself. But spare parts, provision of spare parts for the national projects and fuel and lubricants, this is in plan, and this the government is planning to do that. The issue of managing tractors, of course, I said before, we have a number of tractors in the country. I always give an example of Tanzania. Tanzania, when I visited Tanzania in 2012, Tanzania only had 500 tractors.
But only 500?
500. Only, but they are now exporting food.
But we have over 2,000.
Well, we have over 2,000. So if you compare this relatively, we are privileged because we have a number of tractors. But the issue to me is not tractors. It's not the number of tractors. It's the willingness of farmers to provide. South Sudanese have that thinking that if you own a tractor and you put it in your house, you are now the boss and you are everything. Tractors are not to be owned as V8s and not to be owned as vehicles for movement. They are elements of agricultural production. So the policy that the national ministry is putting is the development of the rural agromechanical centers, which I alluded to before. And through these centers, we'll be able to control our tractors and we'll be able to put the farmers in production and we'll be able to control about all the machinery that we have. So the strategy and the budget for support is there with the National Minister of Agriculture. I said it before. We are willing to support all this, the small farmers, because it is the private sector and it is the engine of economic growth.
All right. Yes, still our lines are open. You can call us. Hello, Redimire. Hello.
Sorry, Martin. Good morning.
Morning to you.
Yes.
Isaac.
This is... exactly. Thank you for recognition.
It's me. From iCinema, right?
Yeah, I'm permanently in iCinema.
Okay, go ahead, Isaac, with your question.
Yeah, I have some couple of questions to our guest. My first question is, what kind of agricultural system are we supposed to use in South Sudan whenever we are cultivating our land, have the farmers? Because me, I'm one of the farmers which is... I can just employ by myself. I don't have time with the tractor or what. I will just cultivate as my own energy, as energetic use in the Republic of South Sudan. I want to know what are the mechanism of making cultivation toward that will be the best cultivation in the Republic of South Sudan to all the farmers who are now cultivating in South Sudan. My other question is, if you sometimes see an issue of tractors, with the citizen also we have lost hopes, because tractors sometimes are designated or sometimes are distributed according to maybe the people who are aligned, who know themselves in the government or in the political forces. They are not distributed basically on how we are supposed to achieve a subsistence farming in the country. My question is, who is behind distribution of tractors, and why are they distributed to the people who are going to make them redundant at home than to be given to the people who are going to work and cultivate and change the agricultural system of this country, so that we should have to be having surplus and make export to other countries? Like we are now eating this plural called maburbaj. We are suffering now from maburbaj. We call it in our language maburbaj. If you eat it, you can even wake up like you have not eaten anything in the morning.
Okay.
And our people are fighting over this flour all the time. We are eyeing there. We are looking for money to go and buy this flour in the market, Uganda flour. They are cheating us, by the way, because this is not kind of the flour we doesn't want in the country. So my last question is, who is supposed to monitor the taxes after they have been distributed by the national ministry plan? Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Isaac, from Juba here. Yes, DG, what kind of agricultural system is being practiced in South Sudan?
Let me, Mr. Isaac, let me start with this issue of maburbaj. I think the name also sounds difficult, and it means even this maize flour is really maburbaj, and it is not a good one. In the forum, there were a lot of discussion. Very many people talked about it, and we are not advising us, our people, to use this flour, this maize flour, because you actually don't know the composition of this flour. We sometimes actually the Department of Standards of Bureau of Standards is advising us not to use it, because according to their own analysis, this maize flour actually constitutes of a lot of items that are not actually good for food. So I advise you, and I advise your family, and I advise your neighbors, you go to Konyokonyo, you go to Jebel Market, buy maize, grains, or buy sorghum grains, or buy bafra, mix them together and put them to the nearest grinding mill and bring them home. But this issue of maburbaj we are talking about, please, let's try to reduce it. And by so reducing it, it will remain in the market. No more imports will come on this. We just leave it, abandon it completely, go and buy maize grains or, you know.
We will follow that with the National Bureau of Standards.
Let's do that. And please, you bring probably...
We will follow that. It's another topic for another day.
You bring Honorable Gloria.
Okay.
Gloria Nyoka to come and actually talk about it. The issue of the systems or the mechanisms we use, we are using mixed practices in agriculture, but we in the ministry advises for good agricultural practices. What does it mean? It means let's abandon the issue of broadcasting seeds. Broadcasting seeds takes a lot of seeds. Broadcasting seeds actually doesn't allow you to distribute your seeds evenly. Some places will have seeds and some places will never have seeds. Broadcasting seeds have a lot of negative impact. Let's go for line planting. You plant on lines, and actually by planting on lines, it gives you an environment for weeding for subsequent agricultural operations. Even harvesting will be easy.
Mm-hmm. So you can use the traditional ropes.
Yeah, you can use traditional ropes. And lining, of course, is not a difficult thing. I know it is difficult. It takes time if you have a large area, but that is a practice that we should go for. Let's go for line planting and reduce the number of seeds and increase production.
Okay.
Through that.
Monitoring of tractors.
Monitoring of tractors and the issue of political distribution.
Giving them to people who are not going to use them.
We don't love our country. This is what I can say. But if we love our country, and I know I will take a tractor that will be redundant, it's better not to take it. You don't take a tractor and just park it at home, and all the time you wake up in the morning and you see that you have a tractor which is not put into production. If we love our country, please, let us not distribute the tractors politically. And if you take a tractor, please put it on.
Okay. We have another question coming via our SMS here. Most farmers are lacking seeds in the country. But once seeds are given, sometimes they come very late when the planting season is already done by your partners, the UN FAO. What can be done to improve on that? That's from Lemi in Yeye River County, Central Equatoria State.
Lemi, thank you so much. I understand Yeye is actually one of our production areas. The issue of seeds coming late is actually connected to the procurement system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, procurement should start earlier. Say, if Yeye County is starting planting in March, they should receive the...
Why should we import food seeds from outside? Why can't we do them locally, like you said earlier? One of your plans.
Yeah, we have them. I'm saying sometimes even the seeds that are distributed to the farmers are locally produced seeds.
Mm. So why do they go late? Like, for example, here in Yeye, which is 100 miles from Juba.
I said the issue of procurement and the process of doing it. You know, the issue of accountability and this, how money is going, how do you use the money, is some of the issues that
takes
delay.
Time,
that takes time. And another thing is also transportation, poor road system, you see. So these are some of the issues that are actually are delaying seeds. And then we really advocate that if farmers can produce their own seeds locally in where they are, say in Yeye, you produce your own seeds. And I know you farmers, you are very clever and you are very intelligent in doing your own things, and you are very smart. You can know, we know how you can select your own seeds from your local produce, and we know how you can store it. So we can avoid some of these things by using our own locally produced seeds.
Okay. You can still call us on 091-206-7879. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Tamam. Isma, good afternoon.
واغلب الناس اللي بيشيلوا زي ما قبل الدايركتور قال انه المعلاد اللي كان وزعوا فوق التراكتورات ده كله يعني ديك عايزه لو مشيت ما بتلقى وايد وده حقيقه فهو كلام ده انا بنشوف انه من الركابه زاد وين الناس اللي بيراقبوا الحاجات ده لان الحاجات ده كان ده بلان بتاع دوله عشان الناس تشتغل فوق عشان المواطن والدوله عشان تقدر تستفيد من الانتاج ديك بيشيلوا عشان يمشيوا بيوك الدول ثاني فهو كلام ده بيرجع للمراقبة أتى البلانينج الناس شغالين فوق جديدة يعني أنا متأكد برضو لو الناس يستمر في نفس السيستم الاول ده برضو هيبقى نفس الحكايه. نمرة اثنين انا بنرجع كمان لكلام بتاع الكوميونتي الناس بتاع عنايه ده بتاع المحافظين الموضوع بتاع الارض ده. الاراضي ده ما في اراضي مثلا زي بتاع مشروع تعويل ده مشروع جاي لانه زمان كان بيصدروا العربة بيمشي مصر فهو المشروع ده داير اعاده بتاع تشكيل بتاعه حتى يعني قبل كم سنه انا مشيت زرت المعالجه فلقيت الاطال ذات الموجوده في المكان اللي يعني اطال بسيطه لكن الناس الموجودين فوق هم ما عارفين يعني بعد كان الخواجه هم كانوا فادوا من المعالجه فاصبح الناس الموجودين هناك هم ما كوادر مؤهله عشان يعني يقدروا يديروا نفس المشروع. نمرتين عندنا رن برضه ده مع الجاي
اي
كنا بنسمع كمان بمشروع بتاع مانجلا فالمشاريع ده فمفروض انه يكون في ريابليتيشن عشان العجال الجاهز ده عشان الناس تشتغل فوق اول حاجه بعد لازم مع الناس يشوفوا العجلات المخترعات الجديده عشان الموضوع يمشي قدام. نحن بنشوف انه جنوب السودان فيه اراضي يعني فوقه يعني شجر كبار يعني هو كثير وبنشوف يعني في معالات مثلا زي وزاره الدفاع يعني عندهم وزارات كثيره وموجوده هنا فده حاجة أصلا الأكل لدولة ده هو بحتاجة مع الناس يتفقوا مع كوميونيتيز ومع كاونتيز عشان إنه الناس تقدر تشتغل بدل ما إنه القابة يكون قاعد للناس قاعد ويسبب للناس ريبل ومشاكل ونعب وكلام الكثير أفضل إنه الناس ينظفوه والناس يستفيدوا منه زراعة ودولة يقدر يستفيد بقدام وناس يمشي يكونوا كويسين من الموضوع أصلا ده الخلاء الناس قاعدين فوق موضوع دولار ده المشكلة بتاعت إنه دولة ما فوق زراعة.
أوكي. Okay. Okay, shukran kali sa baha. But my understanding, yes, director, gal kalambita zirai kede bada wonusufi shara ashara.
What was the name? Bashmahandis,
sita ma
wore desmak, lakene boru duita jitbe kalam kois.
That farming kede bada shara ashara.
Yeah, it is a good idea, and ana gebel guta hata seed zela wazini wazaw khaliya wazaw bedri li mzaharin. Ana khaliya tkalam be loga l'arabiyo. البرنامج على السنة هنا بنتكلم فيه جاء بسبب جوبا ايكونوميك فورم عشان كده عندنا ده كمتابعة للبرنامج ده كمرايا راديو مرايا داري ها والعمل فولو اب استفادة كانت شنو من هنا that's why we are here عشان كده هم ونادوني عشان نتكلم في this economic forum. مراقبة بتاع التراكترات برضو نحن كوزارة الزراعة كان ديناهم خلاص نحن ما بنقدر نعمل مراقبة لكن في أي دولة في حاجة اسمه الأمن الاقتصادي يعني this economic security ممكن دي زول اللي بيقدر يعمل مراقبة ويعمل follow up لأنه أنا عارف لما نكون في السودان لما الحكومة تجي توزع تقاوى بتاع قمح أو تجي توزع أسمدة الأمن الاقتصادي كل يوم قاعد يكون جنبهم عشان بيشوف منو شال شوال في بيت ومنو خرطة في مزرعة سو دي شغل بتاع الأمن الاقتصادي وأنا بطلب من ممكن الحكومة تحاول تتابع الحكاية ده بواسطة بتاع الأمن الاقتصادي. التراكترات الجديدة اللي جاء وموجودة فيه لكن برضو حاجة بسيطة المرة دي ما جاء حاجة كتيرة برضو نحن عسى عاملين بالنا إنه التوزيع ما تتم بنيمة سياسية عشان سياسيين يجي يشيل التراكترات ويخطوه في بيوتهم وما حنستفيد من الانتاج. ايشو بتاع المجتمعات بالنسبة للأراضي أنا قبل قلت أصلا أنت ما ممكن تبدأ من وزارة الزراعة وتمشي طوالي من جوبا هنا تمشي في 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 يورول وتمشي طوالي تخطو مكانات بتاعك انا دير لنديف you will get resistance from the communities. انت ابدا من الحكومة الاتحادية امشي لحكومة بتاع الولاية امشي للكاونتي بعد ذاك كاونتي بيقول لك امشي للكوميونيتي للبيام بيام بعد ذاك بيقول لك خلاص كده نشوف كوميونيتي الفلاني عندهم لان then you go and talk to the communities they will agree or not agree but in most cases if you come with properly put plan because in the beginning they will ask you yes we have land but what will you do for us
aye
نحن عايزين شارع نحن عايزين موية
مستشفى
نحن عايزين مستشفى وفي ناس بيقولوا نحن عايزين كنيسة
aye
like in Jebel Ladu they requested only for church
okay
so انت لو جبلت
ما دي هي جتاني لكنيسة
دارين كنيسة بس يعني انت لو بتقدر تعمل to meet the requirements بتاع community they will give you land يعني شنو انا عندي ارض كل شوك وغابة وما مستفيد منه لكن لما يجيب لي مستشفى يجيب لي مدرسة يجيب لي تعهونة الكوميونيتيز will accept so let's go for that don't go from Juba okay. to Wali to
to a wheel and then start putting your
more rehabilitation to some of these products like
we earlier said it ana gutta gibela ana gutta yani fi fikra wa hatta fi this economic forum I presented projects
kalam de bamul miten
bamul miten de yaso albitar grushi bi yaden so we have the plan and bamul miten da yaw nihna lama nkhut zira ka awlawiya bitana. We put agriculture as government as our first priority, and our rice scheme is in place. Now it is partially operating.
Mm-hmm.
FAO is working there with support from the World Bank. There is a project called CRAFT, which is soon starting, and that
CRAFT, where in Awil?
In Awil.
Mm-hmm.
And that CRAFT program project will put some infrastructure in place for our rice scheme.
Okay.
Especially the canalization system.
Okay.
Yeah. And the same with REM, also the plan is there, but when to do it, up to now it is not a priority, but it is in plan. The issue of grounded tractors is the issue of no spare parts. Because if you remember, Zamana Jabo Tractorada Lawal Belarus, Makan Jabo Mam, Aliat Kamil,
Makan. Fi tractors Kamankan Jabo Yan Kutufi after Sharbita Lori.
And this one, the new one, I asked for going to go there
mm-hmm.
because that is our center.
Dag de kankarabu marawai.
Ma de ya ishu bitana. Same is pikarabu or nihna. Fade hajad marad mafi yet bitat was
there. So the question asked Gahasadu, who is in charge of procurement of these, procuring these tractors? They should have some technical people of Wazara Bitakum who will recommend that this tractor is fit for this region.
That is right. You are right, Sonny Martin. Normally, when there is a plan to purchase tractors, they come to the Minister of Agriculture to provide a specification.
Mm.
In the National Minister of Agriculture, we have the Directorate of Agricultural Engineering, which is responsible for provision of the technical specifications. But now, when it comes to procurement, the ministry is not again consulted. The documents that the ministry provided are not made use of.
Mm-hmm.
A group that goes to purchase is a different group who are not even agriculturists. So this is always our problem
mm-hmm.
with purchasing the tractors. We don't want tractors.
Have you raised this to a minister who sits in the cabinet meeting?
Several times we raised it and people are aware about it.
Okay.
Yeah, we really told them some of this. Tractors you are bringing to us are not good for our environment. We have all the rights to tell you that you go and buy this implement,
mm-hmm.
this hoe for this tractor for Juba or Central Equatoria, this one for Upper Nile, and this one for Western Equatoria.
Mm-hmm.
We have that.
Okay. And DJ, as we come closely to the conclusion of our discussion, I want to find out from you. Most listeners also have the same. We have had a lot of donation from African Development Bank, from World Bank, from other partners donating millions of dollars to support agriculture in the country. I remember there was $42 million that was given for agricultural projects. There was another project that was launched in Pyramid last year. So we are not seeing the effect of all this. What is happening? Can you update us? What do you know as a ministry?
As a ministry, this is how sometimes we don't see the impact.
Mm-hmm.
These international financial institutions like the World Bank, the African Development Bank, do support the country in terms of finances for agriculture. Let me just give you an example of the project that I've stated now, which is... let me talk of a project being supported by the World Bank called Brefonds in our rice scheme. These international donors, they don't trust our financial management system.
As a government?
As a government. They said we are corrupt, we misuse funds, and then they will say, I will give you this money. Say, for example, the $42 million that you have stated. I will give you this money, but the usage will be through a third party. I will not hand the money to you.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find...
But who monitor and supervise the project? Is it the ministry?
It is the ministry, because mm-hmm. since it is the plan of the ministry,
yeah.
It is the ministry to supervise. But the ministry is not given money to do that.
But why don't you go ahead and present your proposal to them? I say, since you don't trust us with the money, we want you to do 1, 2, 3 in this specific period of time and hand us
the initiation, Sonny Martin, normally comes from the National Minister of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
We write the project, We plan for it and then we request for funds.
Mm-hmm.
And then the World Bank, if it finds your project is actually fundable, then it will come and say, okay, I read your project and I will fund you. I will give you this money you requested.
Yeah.
But I will implement it through a third party.
Yeah.
And in this case now, sometimes for the projects that are running, FAO becomes the third party, the implementer, while the ministry is the executor. We execute, but the FAO implements the project.
Mm-hmm.
Now what is going to do on the management of funds? The ministry can get a little bit of administrative fee, which it pays for the salaries of the people employed in the implementation unit. But when I want to make a workshop, when I want to make a workshop like the economic forum it took place, I will request from FAO that I want to make a workshop, and the workshops like this, I need a hall, I need water, I need food. They will all provide that, but you will not see the money.
Mm-hmm.
They will tell you the hall is ready, your food is ready.
Why are you after the money? Why don't you run after the project?
Sorry?
Why don't you go after project instead of asking for the money?
No, I'm trying
to... You give them the project, say, you know, since you don't trust us, you fund the project and the handover to us.
That is what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm trying to answer the question that the donors are giving money to the Minister of Agriculture. Yes, the money is there. But we don't see the money.
So is there...
It is just... We don't see the money.
Okay.
Honestly, we
since
don't see
this donation has been coming, I remember the 42 million and there was another 75 million.
65 million.
So is there any project that has been completed with one of this funding?
Yeah.
Which you know of?
There's a project that the low cost emergency project. When you remember the invasion by locusts.
Yeah.
There was a locust project funded by World Bank and implemented by FAO. It has actually put some impact
mm-hmm.
to the state. Say, for instance, in
which state?
One example I've talked about is Kapoita.
Kapoita.
The Eastern Equatorial State. Kapoita and Torit. These things are there. They have benefited from some of these funds and some infrastructure was put in place and they are there. You go there, they are tangible.
Okay, so now what can be done to ensure that some of this donation we hear about and we don't see any visible result, what do you think can be done to build trust between the government and the donors?
Yeah, we first of all need to restructure ourselves properly and put our financial management system in place. And then tell the donors that now we are organized and we are well off. We have this, we have skilled people, we can manage these funds like this and this and this, and we could do it. And I'm sure South Sudan can make it.
Okay.
We have competent people, but this trust should actually be spelled out. And we show ourselves that we are capable and we can use the fund efficiently.
Okay, and our final question for today is coming from Peter Akech. I made from Kwajok. He says, why can't the ministry instruct UNFAO to begin a procurement of these seeds as early as possible before farming season begins to avoid these seeds being deployed to states late?
We said earlier that we're working forward to address this issue of late provision of seeds to farmers. And we said before, we are actually changing the trend from instead of buying from other countries, we are going to introduce this system of buying seeds from the locals and from the farmers themselves, and then we distribute them within the country. Once again, I repeat, most of the delays are taking place because of the procurement system that these donors have. The money is not particularly, maybe the country representative has a figure that he can approve here, but approval sometimes comes from outside, so that's why sometimes the procurement system or the procurement process delays.
Okay.
But we are very key
to
address this issue of seeds.
Okay, and finally, DG, the African Union adopted a new agricultural development strategy that will see the continent increase its agri-food output by 45% by the year 2035, which is not just 10 years from now. So is South Sudan, as a member of the AU, are we in the same path to meeting that target?
We are in the same path. We actually attended the last meeting by African Union, and we are actually planning to do that. Again, we need to put money to agricultural
money.
Sector.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but the Minister of Agriculture is aware about it, and our minister, the former minister, attended this meeting, and all things are in place.
So what will it take apart from money? Because not everything requires money.
But some of big projects, without money, you cannot make it, honestly. Because if you put, for instance, research as part of this one, because we need development of new technologies, research needs a lot of money. But research in the other way around also doesn't generate money. It doesn't bring money back. So that's why sometimes it's painful. When you give 1 million to research, it will not give you back 1 million like the taxation, like the other money-generating institutions.
All right. We would like to thank you so much, Erneo Balaiso Peter, for really taking your time to come and explain the initiative by the government through your ministry to produce enough food that can feed the entire population of this country. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much, Sani Martin. Thank you, Radio Mira. And thank you, the listeners, for taking your time to ask questions. And I'm so much grateful.
Thank you so much, and with that, we have come to the end of our roundtable for this week. My name is Sani Martin, and continue listening to other programs coming up. Bye-bye for now.
Table.